It's the web's only podcast completely devoted to daily fantasy sports. Welcome to the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Here's your host, Dan Bach.
What's going on, everybody? Thank you so much for checking us out. Going to be a busy podcast here. This is the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix, presented by Daily Joust. I'm your host, Dan Bach. Go by DB730. And I say it's busy because, well, this is what we've got on the agenda today. We got 12 games in the NBA. That's a lot, so we'll go over those. We've got the guys from Daily Joust going to give us an update of what they've got going on for baseball season, some scoring changes, and a new Grinders Incentives Tournament starting up on Friday, which is pretty cool. So we'll talk to them all about that stuff. Obviously, golf, the Masters, starts up tomorrow morning, so today's the last day to get your fantasy lineups in there for the Masters. This is, in my estimation, the most exciting tournament of the year, and getting in a little daily fantasy action certainly kind of adds to the entertainment value of watching the Masters. So we've got that to discuss, and of course, industry news promos. Let's start with that. New site popping up, fantasyfeud.com, and if you don't know us over at Roto Grinders, we run a lot of promotions when new sites come up, and Fantasy Feud is no different. We've got a promo launch starting out in April, going to be starting up in the next couple weeks. You might have gotten an email blast from us here at Roto Grinders talking about it, but it's going to be $3,000 launch promo, and this is only going to be for people who sign up through the site on our links here on Roto Grinders. So it's exclusive to those people. This isn't for everybody in the industry. So make sure you go through our links. Make sure you use the recruiting code Grinders. They got a 50% deposit bonus up to $50. And I have not played on the site yet, but I hear from a lot of the users, the feedback has been that it's a very well set up, well thought out site, and expect some big things from them. They are using the rake back formula, so therefore, the more you play, the less rake you pay on the site. And all in all indications are from the feedback of the users out there is that these guys are going to be a player in the industry. So make sure when you sign up, go through our links on Roto Grinders, and then that will get you eligible to participate in that $3,000 worth of money that they're going to be giving out exclusively to Roto Grinders members. But if you don't sign up through the links, you don't use the recruiting code, you can't get in on those promos. So that's the key here. So make sure you do that. And we'll definitely have those guys on the podcast probably maybe sometime in the next week or two to talk about that, talk about their site and everything else. But certainly excited to point that out to you. And just remember, again, go through the Roto Grinders sites because we always give you the best incentives, the best promos. And this is just one of them that will be starting up in the next week or two. Also, last night over on FanDuel, I didn't get a chance to witness it myself, but apparently the talk was the night that General V had. Of course, General V won the fantasy football championship 2 years ago over there at FanDuel, been one of the top players in the industry since it started, and had apparently a huge night where he like took down every single GPP that was out there. There's rumors that he took in like $5,000 in less than $200 in entries. So obviously a huge night for General V out there on FanDuel, and just another one of those things where if you got a lineup you like, you put him on all the tournaments, you can have a big night. Now then again, if you've got a lineup you like and it sucks, you can lose your butt pretty quick with that one team. So that's the good and the bad of using the, you know, one lineup strategy. But apparently had a big night for him last night, so we'll tip our cap over there. And with that, that's going to run down our industry news for today. We'll have a lot more. Jeez, it's like every single day more stuff comes up, but definitely wanted to point that out. But let's start looking to some golf with the Masters.
Four.
Fine shot.
I should have yelled two.
Where do we walk this off, sir?
Yes, the Masters, maybe my favorite golf tournament of the year. Beautiful Augusta National. And, tournament starts up tomorrow morning, so therefore we've got all day today and tonight to get your lineups in. If you're wondering where I can play daily fantasy golf, again, you can go to Draft Street. They've Got tons of guaranteed prize pool tournaments, 50-50s, all sorts of stuff. But they deal exclusively in the salary cap. Also, Draft Zone, another site that does the salary cap golf. Nice little setup over there. And Buzz Draft, check them out last night. Their PGA Tour setup, or their Masters setup. And they have both the salary cap version, where, of course, you kind of build your team under the cap, and then a kind of pick'em version where actually you have a bunch of head-to-head matchups and you just take who you think is going to do better in that matchup. Whoever gets the most right is the winner. So that one's a little bit easier for the people who are not quite as familiar with who's hot and who's not in golf. But nonetheless, the only thing that's different between their site and the other two is they actually base their scoring on the amount of money that the people win. So it doesn't have to do with necessarily birdies are worth 2 points, eagles are worth 4 points, bogeys are worth -2. It doesn't work like that. So the way they're set up, it's all basically comes down to the last day, where you finish, how much money you're taking home. So just wanted to point that out. The Masters, the interesting thing about it is, I mean, obviously, I think there's two favorites in the Masters. It's Rory McIlroy, it's Tiger Woods. And you look at these guys on Draft Street, and I think Tiger's like 40,000 and Rory's about 36,000. I mean, when you're building like a six-man team, it's really not beneficial to have one guy take up like 40% of your cap. I mean, that to me is not the best strategy to have. So I'm definitely not going to go with Tiger Woods. Now, here's the thing. Here's my problem is I really, really, really like Rory McIlroy. I think he's going to win this tournament. But I still, even though I like him and I think he's going to win, I don't know if I can put $36,000 out of a $100,000 cap on one player. Now, maybe I'll do it in like a cheap, $2 GPP or something like that and just kind of try and get lucky with some of the other guys. But to me, the differential between those guys and the rest of the field, yeah, I think there's a good chance they're going to do really well, but I just don't think they're worth spending on that. I mean, McIlroy, to me, you look at him. He had the tournament in the bag going into last year on that Sunday, and then he just started like duck hooking drives left and right, hitting them in people's backyards. Basically looked like you and me out there. Never seen somebody with that much skill look so bad. But he finally did get his major victory last year, and he's posted top fives in 12 out of the last 13 tournaments he's played in worldwide. Also had a first and a third in the two starts here on U.S. soil. So again, if he didn't cost $36,000, I would take him. I haven't checked his price over there on Draft Zone, but he is a little bit more reasonable, I think, on Buzz Draft. But that's the guy who I'm picking to win the event. Now, when you talk about value, you talk about other guys who you might want to take a look at over there on Draft Street. Hunter Mahan, he's won twice on tour and sitting pretty at a nice $16,000 salary, so that's not too expensive. You couple that with a couple of top 10s at Augusta, and for the price, you're probably going to see a lot of people take Hunter Mahan, and I don't think it's a bad selection. This guy's a little more expensive. If you don't want to pay for Tiger or Rory, I think Luke Donald might be a good guy to anchor your team. He is coming off a 2011 season where he's actually the leading money winner on both the European and the PGA Tour. He's just really moved into that upper echelon of players, and he's got the game to win a major. Hasn't done it yet, but this might be the one that he takes. Had a fourth place finish last year, so I think he's kind of proven that he knows the course and can finish well at Augusta. So I like Luke Donald. Now the key with this is sleepers. You need to find some guys, some lower tier guys who maybe will kind of come out of nowhere. And obviously, the more expensive guys you have, the more of these lesser tier guys you need. One guy to consider, but I want to warn you with, is Martin Keimer. I loved his price, but then once you read a little bit about him, this guy's actually played in four Masters and not made the cut once. So it's very risky to take a guy who does not have not even a average track record at Augusta, but a terrible track record at Augusta. So just beware of that as a possible guy to either consider because he's cheap, because I personally think he's got some game to him. He was the world's number one player just a year ago. But with that said, doesn't really have the history on his side at Augusta. But the one thing about the Masters, which is interesting, is you always have like an old guy who makes a run. Always. Always have some random old guy, because remember, the Masters, basically, if you've won, you can come back and play for eternity. So you always have, you know, older guys out there who end up playing. And I think Jose Maria Olazabal might be that old guy who makes a run. And I really don't have anything to say, except it just would be a good story, because they're doing a big dedication to, you know, Seve Ballesteros, who, of course, I think won a couple of Masters. So it's kind of only fitting that, you know, a Spaniard would make a run in the tournament, and maybe going into Sunday, you know, you're like, oh, wow, what a great story. And it's just some of those storylines you can look and say, you know, yeah, that makes sense. He's only 10K, so it's a deep sleeper. He's a flyer. So maybe somebody who you might want to consider. So that's just a quick rundown of the Masters. Again, get your action on over there at Draft Street, Draft Zone, and Buzz Draft. Daily fantasy golf, especially for big tournaments, a whole lot of fun. Okay, we are got a full schedule here in the NBA. I mean, just so many games to talk about, so let's jump right into it. 12 games, Raptors and 76ers start us off tonight. Andre Bargnani has not been below 29 fantasy points in the last four games. He's really starting to heat up, looking like the player we saw earlier in the season. And he's actually been averaging 23 fantasy points in the last five games, or it's not even fantasy points, points, I should say, in the last five games in Philadelphia. Also had 21-11 in their matchup in January. So I think he's a solid play. I've been using him quite a bit over there on Draft Street. DeMar DeRozan went for 20 last game, but very one-dimensional player. Also, Jose Calderon, one stinking point in the last matchup last night, but he did have 10 assists in that game. As for Philly, they play pretty tough defense, so might be a good reason to avoid some of the marginal, questionable players there on the Raptors. Evan Turner, big game last night versus Miami, and he's been pretty solid in three out of the last four games. And Philly, they've actually cut their rotation only down to eight guys, so there's really big minutes going out to many players out there. Lou Williams, 18-5-5 last night against Miami, so maybe not a terrible option there. Moving on to the Pacers and the Wizards, Danny Granger continues his hot play, 36 fantasy points last night. He's been in the 30s or better in three of the last four games he's played. Washington actually playing a little bit better defense than Indy, if you look in terms of their points allowed recently. So just something to be aware of. I think since they got rid of Nick Young and JaVale McGee, they've actually decided to play a little bit more defense. Roy Hibbert, though, might have a good matchup tonight, because I doubt we see Nene. He'll probably be going against Kevin Serafin, who's been getting 30 minutes a game. You look at his fantasy production, it's been good, but not great. Not necessarily somebody I'd really consider. John Wall, still under 30 fantasy points in six out of the last seven game, and looking fairly overpriced on a good number of daily fantasy sites. Bobcats and Hawks, BJ Mullins did well for me on Draft Street last night, had 37 fantasy points, and he's done that in each of the last two games. Really solid on Draft Street, where you get two choices at center, and he's still hovering right around that $9,500 range. Kemba Walker got the start for Charlotte, but go figure, it was DJ Augustine who had the big game, and he's done well coming off the bench, 25 and 26 points, fantasy points in the last two. The guy I think you got to put in every lineup you do tonight is Josh Smith. He should destroy this team. Bobcats do not defend big men well, and Josh Smith is just red hot. Absolute stud. 42 fantasy points per game on average over the last seven. I like him to have something in the mid-40s. Wouldn't be surprised to see him hit 50 tonight. Zsa Pachulia, he was a kind of flavor of the month there for a while. He's cooled off. He's been in the teens five of the last six games. And there really isn't much else to like on Atlanta, to be honest with you. Joe Johnson, only over 30 fantasy point mark once in the last four games. Very inconsistent. Spurs and Celtics. Spurs playing absolutely great basketball. Nine straight games, finally healthy. And they're coming off a nice, easy win against last night, where they didn't have to play their key guys a whole lot of minutes. So that's definitely going to be helpful as they go against a tougher Boston team tonight. And believe it or not, the Spurs are only two games behind Oklahoma City for that best record in the Western Conference. So they still got a shot at getting that home court advantage. This is a matchup that Tim Duncan may put up some big numbers. Very good on the glass, and certainly Boston not one of their better things that they do. Tony Parker, 28 fantasy points in only 23 minutes last game. It was Danny Green who was the good cheap option to have last last night with 25 fantasy points in the blowout. Wouldn't expect that kind of production tonight, though, against the Celtics. Paul Pierce been over 20 points in 7 straight games and over 30 fantasy points over that same span. He has just been lights out. But I think the guy you want to look to, Rajon Rondo, tons of upside. Of course, had the triple-double the other night. But last year in the 2 games against San Antonio, 12, 10, 23 assists and 6 steals in 1 game, and also went for 22 points, 5 boards, and 14 assists in the other. So he absolutely destroyed it against the Spurs. And the thing is, a lot of people will look back and say, yeah, well, those stats were last year. But let's face it, both of these teams are pretty much identical to what we saw a year ago. So I think Rondo, very smart play tonight for the Celtics. Nuggets and Hornets. Eric Gordon going to return for the Hornets, but you just can't put him in your lineup. It's just going to be way too unpredictable in terms of the number of minutes he plays, and also really knowing how it's going to affect the play and the value of the other players out there. And it looks like New Orleans could be getting quite a few guys back. Carl Landry, Trevor Ariza could be back as well. With all these guys coming back to the lineup, it's probably best to avoid the Hornets, which is unfortunate because they're playing a Nuggets team, which normally doesn't play a whole lot of defense. Ty Lawson, 38 fantasy points or higher in 3 out of the last 4 games. Definitely their best option. JaVale McGee, 4 minutes last game. Totally ignore him. I'm not surprised that George Karl is not excited to have him on his team. Aaron Aflalo, pretty decent lately. 27 and 34 fantasy points in the last 2. I only like him if Wilson Chandler is out again tonight, and there's no word on that yet. Maybe the marquee game of the night, the Thunder and the Heat face-off in Miami. This one's going to be a doozy, as I expect most of the stars to show up in these kind of marquee games. And LeBron went for 55 fantasy points last night. Who didn't really see that one coming, especially when we heard that Dwayne Wade was going to be out? But historically, LeBron only 19 points per game on average versus Oklahoma. Take that with a grain of salt. Wouldn't worry about him one bit. Dwayne Wade, on the other hand, I'm guessing he's going to go tonight. They said it was only a bruised knee, so I'm sure if that was an important game last night, he probably would have played. This is an important game, and he's been averaging 27 points per game over the last 8 against Oklahoma City. Russell Westbrook, only 27 fantasy points the last game, but the 3 games before that, he went for 43, 46, and 47, so he has been lighting it up. Miami and Oklahoma City only played a couple of weeks ago. He only had 26 fantasy points in that matchup, but Kevin Durant was big. 29, 9, and 8 versus that game against the Heat, and Serge Ibaka also had a double-double, 19 and 10, and he's been averaging 29 fantasy points over the last 7 games for Oklahoma City. Next game, Cavaliers and Bucks. Cleveland might be the worst team in the league right now. They just have nothing going for them. On the other hand, the Bucks, they're actually looking pretty good. I never thought that I would be excited to take guys from the Bucks, but they have some really quality fantasy players. I mean, you could go with the likes of Brandon Jennings, who's averaging 23 points per game against Cleveland. Ersan Ilyasova, Drew Gooden, Monte Ellis. Ilyasova had 20 and 10 in the last game against Cleveland a couple of days ago, so I think what we're going to run into here is a game with blowout potential. The Cavs have not reached 90 points in their last 9 games. Kyrie Irving had 29 and 5 in the last game against Milwaukee. Even Tristan Thompson, probably the best game that he's had in a while, 15 and 11 in the loss to Milwaukee just about a week ago. So maybe 2 guys to consider, but right now that Cleveland team is absolutely reeling. Moving on to the Timberwolves and the Warriors. Kevin Love versus Golden State. Thank you very much. Definitely a guy you want to put in your lineup. Take it to the bank. 37 points, 23 boards in the last game against Golden State. But there's going to be some value available in this game. We just got to find out who it's going to be. Luke Ridnour sprained his ankle last game, left on crutches. Doesn't look like he's going to go. Obviously, Rubio, Barea already out. So that leaves us with who? Malcolm Lee? I have no idea who Malcolm Lee is, but he got minutes in the 4th quarter after Luke Ridnour went out, so he might get the start. And I was checking his salary. For some reason, he's like 9K on Draft Street. I have no idea who this guy is or why he's 9K over there. I was thinking, oh, great, got a value play over on Draft Street. Not really. But he is cheap pretty much everywhere else, so I'd love to know the explanation for that one. As for the Timberwolves, Nikola Pekovic, last game, played 19 minutes, had 21 fantasy points. pretty good matchup against Golden State, but the question is he on any sort of minutes limit? He did not start in that last game, so kind of keep an eye on that. Might want to read up and see what his status is. David Lee, the one guy in Golden State you can count on, he has not been under 37 points in the last six games. From a fantasy side of things, that's what you like to see. Only really reliable guy in the Warriors, Nate Robinson, been pretty good the last two, though, 29 and 27, so maybe somebody to consider, especially with Charles Jenkins possibly going to be out again. Grizzlies and the Mavericks, this is the fifth game in six nights for Memphis. They cannot have much legs left, I would think, so I really like Dallas in this matchup to win and possibly even blow them out. Zach Randolph just not getting many minutes. I don't know what his deal is, but he did have a big game last time against Dallas. Possibly he breaks out. I certainly wouldn't count on it, as he's pretty overpriced on most of the sites out there. Marc Gasol, 22 and 11. Mike Conley, 20 and 10 in the last game against Dallas. As for the Mavericks, Jason Kidd is out. Delonte West got the start last game, but he did nothing with it. 12 fantasy points in 36 minutes. For me, it's Roddy Bubois. I love this guy when he's in the starting lineup. If the word comes out he gets a start, I think he's worth taking a look at. Jason Terry, some people think he gets a bump, but for me, Terry is like the least, gives you like the least upside out of any player. Like, he hardly goes over 30 fantasy points. I know he's not a starter, but he plays starters minutes, so I wouldn't go that route. Not me. Suns and Jazz. Phoenix got destroyed by DeMarcus Cousins last night, who I think had like a 50 or 60 point fantasy night, just huge numbers for him. So it might be Big Al Jefferson's turn for a big night down low going against the Ole defense of Martin Gortat. But Channing Frye and Gortat looked pretty good in the last game against Utah. They had 25 and 26 in that matchup versus the Jazz. As for the Jazz, Paul Millsap, 32 fantasy points on average over the last seven. He's getting it done and had 18 and 10 against Phoenix last month. The best value, though, on the board, who's been the great value for the last couple weeks, is Gordon Haywood. Still averaging 27 fantasy points over the last seven games, so look to him for some cheap points. Devin Harris screwed me when he got hurt in the second half of the last game that he played. Question is, who's going to get those minutes if he's out? Alec Burks, I think he's one of the better players they actually have on that team. Not sure if he's necessarily going to move to the point guard position, but Jamal Tinsley actually came out and started the second half for Utah after Harris was out. So if kind of keep your eye on the injury report, follow us on Twitter, and hopefully we'll have some more information on that, because there could be some good value at point guard there with the Utah Jazz. The New Jersey Nets, they're a three-man team right now. They take on the Blazers, and it's Darren Williams, Chris Humphries, and Crash Wallace, and maybe the occasional Anthony Morrow, Gerald Green, dropping in with a decent fantasy line. Hopefully you didn't take anything I said about Johan Petro seriously the other day. He was 0 for 8 last night, but don't be surprised. It's a guy named Johan. You know, I didn't expect much. As for Gerald Wallace, he was actually always great at home when he played for the Blazers, so we'll see if that translates to him being great on the road versus the Blazers in Portland. If that made any sense. But anyway, six straight games for LaMarcus Aldridge being over the 30 fantasy point mark, so he's back to his consistent self. J.J. Hickson sucked the last game, and I'll tell you why. It's because Joel Prisbilla came back. But why would you possibly play Joel Prisbilla over J.J. Hickson? Joel Prisbilla brings nothing to the table. Even defensively, he's a stiff, so I don't understand that. Nicholas Batum starting to get back into a groove of things. He was in a slump for a while. 32 and 36 fantasy points in the last two games. And the last game to talk about, Clippers and Lakers out there. Andrew Bynum missed last night. No word yet if he's going to go today. If he doesn't, obviously Pau Gasol stepped up and had a huge game last night. I think he will keep it up with some extra opportunities offensively with Bynum out. Kobe Bryant, I still think, kind of takes some offense to all the attention the Clippers have been getting in the press, so I wouldn't be surprised for him to step up his game. And holy Randy Foy, my goodness, 24, 23, 33 in the last three games for the Clippers. They need him or somebody to step up and be that third option. Now, I don't think that Randy Foy is the long-term answer, but he's actually been hot shooting the basketball, so might be a good cheaper option there. Chris Paul, you know, obvious pick. Same with Blake Griffin. Both those guys pretty consistent night to night. So that's the rundown of your NBA action. 12 games on this schedule. GPPs all over the place. So best of luck out there in the NBA tonight. Joining us now on the podcast, we are talking with a couple of Mikes. One of them's a newer one, first time on the podcast. We got Michael Brook of Daily Joust and Michael Rathburn also joined the Daily Joust team. Excited to bring these guys on. And first, I want to start off and say thank you so much again for sponsoring this podcast. I know a lot of the listeners out there appreciate that. I always tell them to go to your site and certainly appreciate your guys' loyalty to us. So I'm going to start off with a quick thank you there. And let's talk about what you got offering here, because baseball season starting up. Michael, tell me about some of these scoring changes, because a lot of daily sites are change things up year to year. What is Daily Joust doing differently this year for baseball season?
Really, only one scoring change. We liked our scoring last year. This year we're adding 1 point for each hit. So in addition to 1 point for each total base. So for instance, a single now ends up being worth 2 points, a double, three points, triple, four, and a home run ends up being worth nine. We believe that that'll help balance our pitching and hitting a little better over last season, which we felt was a little pitcher heavy. We like that we have 1 point per out for pitchers, and that enables us to have no fractions in our scoring. Again, I think that makes things clearer for our users.
Now, I know a lot of big-time players over there in Daily Joust love playing the solo contest. How is this going to affect the solo scoring with this change?
So it's one additional point for each hit. Last year, our solo target was 50. We'll raise that to 60 this year, and I think that balances out pretty well.
Now, one of the things you guys have done so well, Michael, is just had this diversity in the offerings. I talk about it all the time on the podcast. I mean, you guys have really stepped outside the box with the solo survivor tournaments, the March Madness survivor tournaments, now the NBA 50-50 survivors. I mean, how have these things been going? What kind of response have you gotten from these new type of tournaments?
Well, I'd say we've gotten a tremendous response. So we've been filling these new tournaments. One of our concerns was that they would be difficult to explain to people. And, with your help bringing us on the show to explain those contests, the innovations in the industry, I think people have quickly adapted to how they work. And they're really enjoying our 50-50 survivors and our solo survivor tournaments. We are expanding them to other sports, and they're a great complement to playing our regular solos.
Let's bring Mike Rathburn real quick. Mike, one thing I've noticed recently is that you guys at Joust have decided to do a daily free roll, just, basically giving away free money, running a free tournament. Why'd you guys kind of decide to institute this daily free roll into your offerings out there on the site?
Yeah, exactly. I think one of the biggest things that we have to look at, especially in a new industry, and I think you bring it up all the time as well, is that this is still in its infancy. Even though the Roadrunners audience has been entrenched, for the better half of 2 years, a daily free roll is the perfect way for a new player to enter and play daily fantasy, especially on Daily Joust, and come in with no restrictions and get the feel for the live in-game scoring, the way that works, and how does the tournament work, and how do I move up, and how do I build rosters. And the interesting thing about a tournament as well is you can click on anyone else's team and kind of see what did they do and how did they do it. And I think it's a great way. We have a lot of new people coming in right now, and I think it's a great way to introduce new players to how daily fantasy works.
Oh, definitely. And it gets them some confidence when they can do well in that tournament. Even if they don't win, they can say, hey, look at the score I put up. You know, I scored enough points to beat the solo. Now, I know some of those tournaments you've been running are high cap, so it makes it a little bit easier to hit the solo numbers. But I think it can build confidence in new players and not really have them overextend maybe a limited bankroll to start out with. So I think it's a pretty good move. Now, Michael, we got something pretty exciting. You know, we've got the incentives program with you guys where we run monthly free rolls for people who sign up to Daily Joust through the links here on Roto Grinders. And we're actually doing something a little bit different with this month's free roll. Why don't you tell the listeners what we've got going with our incentives tournament this week on Daily Joust?
Well, normally we run a free roll tournament, a monthly free roll tournament, traditional tournament style for Roto Grinders incentive program members. This month we're going to try something a little different. We're going to do an exclusive Roto Grinders solo survivor tournament for baseball starting on Friday, and in place of our normal $5 solo for that contest, throughout the contest we'll be running a free solo, which has no payout, but enables you to survive to the next round. The final survivor will get the full $300 in bonus bucks for winning the Roto Grinders Solo Survivor Tournament. Again, that starts Friday for baseball.
And it's pretty cool, folks. I mean, if you're somebody who's in the incentives program and you've never tried the Solo Survivor Tournament, here's a chance to get in for free. And, you know, you don't have to pay anything up front. Obviously, there's three different options to choose from day to day. So if you start advancing and you look at it and say, hey, I'm down to the final, you know, eight or something like that, maybe you want to start ponying up a little bit more money, because let's face it, if you win those other money tournaments as you go along, you also win the money. So that's a pretty cool thing, and definitely excited to check it out. And it's a new offering here for the incentives that we've got on Roto Grinders. So excited to check it out with Major League Baseball. One thing I want to talk to you quickly about, Michael, is about a quick change you guys made with your NHL solos. I know you guys had some feedback from users, and you actually kind of scaled your solo goal back at a certain level, which is a good thing for the players. Tell people exactly what happened, why you did it.
Well, we had different targets for different amounts of entry fees. So our targets were higher for $11 and $22 solos in NHL. We reduced the target down to $100 for all our NHL solos. You know, basically, as we became more comfortable with the relationship between our salaries and our NHL scoring, you know, it took us a while, I think, to get the right feel for that with NHL.
So if you're an NHL player and you saw that before, you didn't like it, well, there's no reason not to like it now, because it's the same amount, $5, $10, $22. So for you NHL players, a good little bit of information there. Let's bring Mike Rathburn back in. We've got baseball coming up. I mean, you've got some history writing, talking about baseball and the strategy involved. What is your feeling about opening day? I mean, obviously, we've already had one in Japan. We've got another one, I guess it's Thursday night, and I guess the official opening day is Friday, I guess it's safe to say. Give me some ideas on strategy that you like to use when putting teams together.
Okay. Yeah, actually, the opener, the Cardinals-Marlins, is actually we're looking at some, for Wednesday night.
And then, Wednesday night,
Thursday.
Okay.
Thursday is the unofficial, you know, opening day. I think us baseball purists really look at, you know, the full half slate of games as the opening day. And, you know, the way I look at the slate of games on Thursday is it's probably going to be more challenging for the first few days, because everybody's number one pitcher is going to be going. So I think from a hitting perspective, you've got to really dig and look and try to look at some matchups. There's not a whole lot of mismatches when it comes to, say, you may be looking at Roy Halladay against Eric Bedard is maybe the biggest mismatch. And Eric Bedard is not a slouch by any means. He's a pretty good pitcher, and it's at home. So I think that you've got to pick and choose some interesting matchups. We don't have a ton of hitter ballparks in play on Thursday. I think the Reds game, take a look at the Reds playing in that ballpark. It's known as a hitter's ballpark, and I think Cueto could give up some runs in that game. So maybe you might want to sneak some Marlins in there, might want to sneak some Phillies in there. Probably want to avoid some Cubs. I think Steven Strasburg might be on a mission to go after the 20 strikeouts here. Keep an eye on that weather situation in Wrigley. See if the wind is blowing out, things like that. We all know the hardcore daily fantasy baseball players know to check the weather report, check the wind, all that kind of stuff too.
Now, I've been too consumed with NBA action to even look at salaries and put together a team yet. How are the salaries looking? Because the one thing about Joust, which I love so much, is that you guys are very reactive to the previous night's outcome. You know, if somebody in NBA goes for, 60 points and he's a nobody, well, you know, you see the difference in the increase in the salary and he doesn't make you such a necessarily obvious choice the next night. I think the same thing applied for baseball. I remember guys go in slumps, their salaries start low. So now the kind of year starts on a blank canvas here. How are the salaries kind of put together, and how does it look in terms of, are all the superstar guys expensive? Who are the kind of like under, the lower names out there that people might not be familiar with that are obviously getting lots of playing time in the spring and are doing well?
Sure.
We use projected statistics for our early salaries and quickly adjust, as we start getting actual data from the beginning of a season.
Well, Michael, what guys from the spring have you looked at and thought, maybe we kind of underpriced a little bit?
I think we've done a really good job. I think that maybe Cespedes broke out a little bit. When you have a player that hasn't played, has no historical data other than, no minor league data other than his baseball that he played in the Dominican, it's really hard to get a gauge. You don't want to throw somebody out there extremely expensive and then get criticized for maybe having a salary issue. So I think, Cespedes has proven to maybe be a good value play early on. Really, anybody who is inheriting playing time or maybe coming off a bad year, you may want to find some value there. I think we try to put the salaries out there as competitive as we can. We don't want to be too aggressive to the point where we're speculating at all. We really want to rely on, there's some human element to it, of course, but we also do want to rely on some projection data and some historical data from a year ago. So, maybe a guy like Giancarlo Stanton, the former Mike Stanton, he's a little bit undervalued, but he's injured right now, so he may not even play early on. Maybe a guy like Sinsu Chu, who had a really bad year last year, but really in this format was a very productive player when he was on his game, especially, it rewards hits, it rewards on base and stolen bases. And so that's the kind of player that really does well in daily fantasy.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how a guy like Jason Hayward bounces back with such a good rookie season. Then last year went into just a giant slump. I mean, he was so tempting to take night to night last year because he was always hovering around the minimum salary. And you say to yourself, come on, it's Jason Hayward. He's going to break out. He never did. So I got suckered into him time and time again last year. So we'll definitely see what happens with that. Now, Super Joust 2 is coming up April the 18th. And Michael, about how many people are we looking at for this thing? I mean, I think last time around we were in the 130s. I've had a lot of people ask me how many people are going to be in. I don't know the totals. What's the projected number you would say that we're going to see in Super Joust 2?
I'd say it's going to be comparable to the first one, where I think we had about 139 people. So, probably in that range. Michael Rathburn, you'd added up some numbers. Do you want to share how many we currently have entered?
We currently are at 126 as of March 25th, so we do have to take into consideration some of the tournaments that we'll won. Also, one of the criteria is the most heads-up wins for the month, so we'll have those March players in there as well. And then we're looking at, I looked at how many tournaments we're projected to have over the next 2.5-3 weeks. It looks like the number is going to come in around 150, 160 And that's still, you know, we still have the criteria of 5 entries as a max. And there's a, you know, the top 40 is another way to get in, and there's a neck and neck race right now for that top 40 placement. You've got a group of 10 or 15 jousters within a badge or two, so that entry will definitely come down to the last day. So I would say, you know, if you're looking at the 16th and the 17th, and you think you're close for getting into the super joust, you probably want to look at ways to get additional badges, and which is taking on some of the top guys. That would be the quickest way to do it.
Actually, one way that you can get badges really quickly will be to play our MLB contests.
Yep.
We offer all the same badges can be won in each specific sport. So, you know, basically by just playing MLB the first week, if you play a variety of contests, win a few, I think that you can easily get 10 or more badges, you know, and right now I think you need something like maybe 28 or so to be in the top 40 and get your super joust qualifying seat.
And if you're kind of on the fence there, if you're, you know, near that line of whether you get in or you don't get in, look and see what other people had to do to get jousts or get badges, because some things are really easy, like as simple as like putting an avatar in your, you know, in your username. I mean, gives you a badge. So there's a lot of little tricky things in there that you probably don't even have to spend a whole lot of money to even get. But doing that, you know, obviously referring people to the site, those are easy ways to get badges as well. So that's one thing I always tell people is you got to kind of be aware, look at what other people are doing, not just with the badges, but even like Michael mentioned earlier, putting together lineups. That's some of the biggest advantages in daily fantasies, that you can see what other people are doing. Unfortunately, it's usually after they've already done it, but still can help you moving on to the next time. Michael, anything else that you guys want to hit up on? I mean, obviously, you got to be so excited about baseball and moving a lot of these contests that have done well in the NBA into MLB, and I'm sure we're going to kind of see them integrated slowly but surely. Is that right?
Yeah, two things. One is you have till April 15th to qualify for that April 18th Super Joust. Two, it's $10,000 in prizes plus 2 tickets to the NBA Finals. And, you know, it's our premier tournament. Now, we've been running King James tournaments, which are 55 or 110 man, $10 tournaments, $500, $1,000 prizes. We've been doing something a little different with those tournaments the last couple weeks, and we're kind of testing out a dual salary structure. So we're offering these King James tournaments a couple days in advance with a set of early salaries, which are only used in the King James tournament. This gives us the flexibility to have the salaries, the most up-to-date salaries, which we use for all our other contests, basically the day of the games. Again, this is a test. I think it's a bit of an innovation in the industry that we're testing out the idea that you can have two separate salary pools for the same day.
Well, definitely be on the lookout for that. Those tournaments, like I say, you guys pretty much have Super Joust qualifiers nightly in one sport or another. And I'm sure, you know, when baseball comes along, it's just going to be more work for me on the podcast getting all this information. So I'm going to have my hands full with that, but I guarantee you I will be playing over there. It is Michael Brathbert. It is Michael Brook over there at Daily Joust. Make sure you check them out. Fine sponsor of this podcast, and certainly definitely looking forward to baseball season. And thanks again for coming on the podcast, guys. Certainly appreciate it.
All right, Dan, you're welcome. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan. Keep up the good work.
Folks, that's going to wrap up the podcast today. Thank you so much to the guys at Daily Joust for coming on. Thank you for checking us out. Do us a favor. Please follow us there over on Twitter @RotoGrinders. And
Subscribe to this podcast over on iTunes. It'll be with you for you each and every day. Please join us. We'll be back again tomorrow talking Major League Baseball, the real opening day tomorrow. It's been the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix presented by Daily Joust. Have a great night and talk to you tomorrow, folks.